The game is on the line, and I've only got a shot clock's worth of time to tell you about Subway's $6.99 footlong deal. That's right. Order now in the Subway app and get any footlong on the menu for just $6.99. Fresh sliced deli meat, fresh crispy veggies. Ah, too much good stuff. Get it now on the Subway app. Any footlong for just $6.99. Use code 699FL now. Only here for a limited time. Redeemable at participating U.S. restaurants. Subway app, online orders only. Add-ons, additional plus tax. Additional fees apply on delivery. Excludes footlong snacks. Limited time.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from a couple places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram. Maybe we're live in your hearts. You never know, okay?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty beautiful.
In your grandmother's private screening room.
What?
Yeah, that costs a lot of money, guys, so we really got to talk about that. But luckily, it is supported by our amazing Patreon supporters. And once a month, we give a little thank you to everybody at the $5 and up level who pledges at patreon.com/comicbookclub.
Put a little stank on it.
Okay. How are you going to do that, Pete? Can you give us an example of how you're going to put a little stank on it?
No, I think it'll come through in the reading.
Okay. It always does. You can't put more stank on it. It's pretty stank.
Here are the names of people who support us at $5 up on patreon.com/comicbookclub. Oidis Larson.
Aaron C. Hollis.
Adam DeRose.
Adam Marks.
Adriel Moreland.
Elena Fontenot.
Andrew Primo.
Andrew Tillman.
Beercat PhD.
Bradley Hansen.
Carrie Matthews.
Chad Brecky.
Christina Jaramillo.
Christina Rensfield.
Chris Terlizzi.
Clemens Luer.
Corey Chacharia.
Don't be a joker. It's Corey Smoker.
Oh, boy.
Yo, yo, yo. It's Dan Snow.
Daniel Cabal.
Daniel Fuentes.
Danny Heck.
David Donaldson.
Debbie Gloom.
Dennis Scott.
Derek Mainhart.
Doug Sataway.
Dylan LJ.
Eduardo Martinez.
Eminem.
Enrique Chumpas.
Gerard de Villa.
Ian Rainey.
Ian Thomas.
Isaac Carter.
J.G.
Jack Foster.
Jake Fry.
James Connolly.
Jared Sloan.
Jaron Townsend.
Jason Donahue.
Jeffrey Whaley.
Joe Benton.
John Henderson.
Jonathan Jong.
Jonathan McCool.
Josh Wright.
Joshua W. Broxson.
Joshua Wiggler.
Caleb Linder.
Kelby.
Kevin Kleinrock.
Kieran Broderick.
Cody Thomas.
Lance Kaminsky.
Lee Wana Thomas.
Lucas Sink.
Matt Tice.
Matthew C. Hernandez.
Matthew DePalma.
Matthew Schofield.
Max Baker.
Michael McAuliffe.
Michael Tillman.
Nathan Hall.
Nelson Kelso Martinez.
Nick G.
Nick Grayson.
Official CBC chef, Brett Macris.
Stray Bullies. Mardi
Gras. You got to say your name when after you say Stray Bullies. P. Omnia Soul Art and Oren Diggs.
Pedro A. Rangel.
Oh, is that our game?
Provocative Ambulance.
Ref Mikey.
Robert Pinamo.
Ron Hood.
Roxanne Tyler. Your mom and mine.
Sarah Schottmuller.
Sarah Schaefer.
Scott Carpenter.
Scott England.
Scotty Doo.
Severin.
Spencer Bills.
Go Bills. Stanley.
Taylor Bryan.
The Big Flood.
The 12 Bench.
Troy Millenier.
Victor Perez.
Will Buchanan.
Will Diaz.
W.M. Leche.
Zachary Bachman.
And Zika's Viral Comics. Thank you all for supporting us. Thank you, everybody who supports us. You know, if you want to support us, $2 and up on patreon.com gets access to our very active, very fun Discord. You also get our Bat catalog going all the way back to 2011 with many podcasts that are out online. And there are levels that give you completely ad-free versions of all of our podcasts, among many, many other things. So thank you for support. We really could not keep the show going without you.
And shouts to that list seems to be getting longer, and we love to see it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, at some point we'll have to shut it down when it's too long, right? Rekha?
Not I hope so. I mean, it's,
we should have done that at when it was 12.
Too late now. We're trapped.
We're in it. It's a separate podcast. We were just say names and try to pronounce them.
Well, we're going to say even more names because we have some great guests for you later on in the show. We're going to have the team from the Massiveverse books. But first, they got a new book that is out today, I believe, from Chronicle Books called Buddha Jumps Over the Wall and Other Curiously Named Classic Chinese Dishes, a graphic cookbook, 26 recipes and stories. Ladies and gentlemen, Vivian Trong and Ying Kompestein.
Hello, welcome. Hello. Welcome. How are you?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Nice to you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Thank you so much for doing this. Thanks for coming on. So, as the title of the book says, it is a graphic novel slash cookbook with some classic Chinese dishes. Before we even get there, though, I always like asking this. It's your book birthday. How have you been celebrating your book's birthday? Have you gotten to see happy it in the store? What are you doing? What's the deal?
Well, Vivian, what are you doing? It's just morning your time, right?
Well, to be honest, it's actually not out in the UK yet. A bit of a surprise, but I'm living vicariously with the state's energy. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nice.
Great.
Ying, what about you? Have you checked it out?
Well, I'm going to celebrate after the interview. I've been very anxious and anticipating this interview.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of social media. I'm just enjoying seeing the book number one on Amazon and the best book.
Yeah.
This pick, and I just get really excited, you know, doing all the social media thing.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Well, that's great. So let's talk about the genesis of the book. Like we said, it is a mix between graphic novel with some stories about the origins of the dishes and how to cook them, as well as the dishes themselves. What was the germ of the idea? Was there one of the names of the dishes and that's what sparked it, or where did it come from?
Well, this is my 27th book. Okay. Before this book, I wrote a picture book for children. I wrote cookbooks for adults. So I always wonder, you know, this is my two passion, food and children. What can I do to combine these two together? I want to write another cookbook. This is my fifth cookbook. I want something different. But for a long time, I just can't figure out what's the right fun format. I don't want to just write another book until I saw Vivian's artwork. I just thought, she's so funny, so humorous. This is just a perfect, you know, person to work with. So I decided to write this as a graphic cookbook and to demystify all the traditional Chinese dishes people often wonder. What is the Buddha? What's the name behind the Buddha story behind the Buddha jump over the wall? Mapo tofu, dog ignore the bun, and all the strange name people often wonder when they go to dine at a Chinese restaurant.
I love that because the backstory has become sort of so much a part of cooking. Like, I feel like it's a conversation now. So having a little bit of that to say, like, oh, this is beggar's chicken and here's why it's the way it is so awesome. It's so additive to your experience, I feel like.
Thank you. Yeah. And yeah, Vivian's artwork just really, really bring my story out. I'm just so, every time when she sends on sample art, I'm just so excited.
I mean, it was really easy to do because, like, yeah, Ying's writing is incredible and it's always so humorous and light. And I think it's so universal that anyone can really enjoy it. So I had a lot of fun adapting her stories into art too.
Well, it really feels like the fun jumped off the page. I mean, these stories are so great. It makes me want to try the recipes.
And I'm not Pete very doesn't good. Cook anything.
I'm not very good at cooking at all.
Garbage. So. Yes.
Pete earlier today cooked a Domino's pizza, I believe.
Cooked.
Well, Vivian, when you're drawing these recipes, for anybody listening to the podcast version, we're looking at the great art in here, and it gives you not just the stories behind, but also directions through art as well. Like we're looking at, it's a little block there, but how to make the husband and wife lung slices. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
So What did you use for reference? Did you make the recipes as well and then draw off of that, or how did that work?
I wish I could have. I kind of come from a family of cooks. So my mom's a school cook. My dad used to be a chef at Chinatown. Like, he used to work in different restaurants. My grandma used to also own a Vietnamese restaurant in London. So I kind of... I kind of watched them, so I had a rough idea of how things, you know, were made, even if I'm not a great cook myself. So yeah, so I would use them as my friends. I would ask my mom like how would like this actually go about there. Yeah,
and I feel like just to talk about the art for a second, there's something that it makes the cooking so much more approachable. Your artwork, Vivian, because like, when you're reading a cookbook and it has pictures, it feels like there's a stress element to being like, well, okay, I got to try to make that now. And
I got to make it look like that.
There's a piece. There's a, like, to the elements, or you're showing us sort of these beautiful drawings that helps. It really helps me ease into it, I feel like, just looking at the recipes here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I wanted to make it like the art style to be kind of simple and like not look too complicated, so like anyone could pick it up and be like, oh, yeah. I like clearly understand what's happening here, and there's not too much like razzle dazzle there.
Ying, like you were saying, you've written a fair amount of books at this point, but even knowing what you're doing here, even knowing going into this, were there any recipes or stories in particular that surprised you, that you maybe didn't know the history of, that snuck up on you in an interesting way?
I think I know different version of the Buddha jump over the wall. Mm-hmm. And then I did a further research and then kind of confirm, you know, kind of filled in more details. A lot of those stories, I've grown up in China, in Wuhan, so I know a lot of the stories already. And while I was writing this book and I did further research and I learned a lot more detail I did not know before. And a lot, and there's also some recipes that are very dear to me personally, like the tea egg. This is the one my grandmother used to make for me when I was sent to be re-educated, you know, during the Cultural Revolution. All the kids have to go to the countryside to be re-educated. So my grandmother will make me 2 tea eggs to bring as a lunch. It's a special treat. It's a horrible experience to go walk a long way to go pull weeds as a little girl. But this tea egg kind of really cheered me up.
Wow. Yeah.
So looking at this also, like you said, this is a recipe that you know from your grandmother and clearly has been passed down, but how much experimentation went into building this stuff? How much of a test kitchen did you set up?
Oh, I guess? You know, a lot of these dishes is what I normally cook at home. And you may know, may not, I was Master Stewart's food editor for one of the magazines, Body Plus Soul, for 3 years. So I developed all the recipes and the test recipe. This is like something I do for relaxation. When I'm getting real stressed out to write a fiction, I go to the kitchen to cook and to test recipe. Or I wouldn't call it test, just to cook. So all this comes very... you know, easy for me, this since I cook regularly.
Nice. Vivian, for you, we're looking at this page here of how to make mango lobster spring rolls. There's so much going on from, you've got, it's a little tidy on the screen, but I assume it's the rice paper, you've obviously got the ingredients, you've got the pans. Was there any particular aspect of drawing either the equipment or the food that you found challenging?
Sorry. I think I had to kind of balance with this style. It's in a way where you want it to look like the food, right? But you don't want to make it look too realistic because the style is kind of more on the kind of simple cutesy style. So there was like a weird there was like a little bit of a balance where I had to make it like bit painty, just enough that you could tell what was there. Like, for example, in these spring rolls here, I had to just kind of color it in a way where it did look like the ingredients were inside the spring rolls, but I didn't want to have to actually draw it all individually. It just has to have that rough indicator and had to look appetizing too. So there was a lot of things to like factor in there.
Killed it.
Can each of you highlight sort of the recipe that you would want someone who maybe hasn't cooked this way a lot to take home and really try, asking for a friend that is me?
You know, it has to be the tea egg. It's so easy.
Tea egg.
You know, and once you cook, you taste the tea egg, you probably would never want to eat a hard-boiled egg. Oh, it's really flavorful. You're cooking it, you hard boil. It's just hard boiled egg, but you flavor with tea and the soy sauce and the various spice. And when the egg is cooked and when you peeled it, the egg looked like a marble. You know, that's the marble pattern. It's beautiful and it's flavorful.
Cool.
Now that you have tackled these recipes, and Ying, it sounds like you have probably a whole Rolodex of other recipes ready. How do you feel about this approach now that it's in the rearview mirror? Is this something, this graphic novel food recipe fusion, you'd want to tackle again?
I would love to if Vivian wanted to do more book with me.
yeah.
It's really hard to find a good artist, you know, get your vision, you know, the humor. Like you were showing the picture earlier with the two brothers and little girl with ponytail. I sent some picture of me when I was a little girl and my brother. Vivian draw, it really just reminds me my childhood. She did a great job. I had a two ponytail just like that. A lot of humor comes through that and the memory too.
That's nice.
That's awesome. This book is so awesome. Before we start to really wrap up here, anything else you want to plug? Vivian, anything else folks should be, obviously they should be checking out this book, but anything else you want folks to check out from you?
Yeah, so I do a middle grade series called City of Dragons. It's about a girl who moves to Hong Kong and she finds a dragon has hatched in her toilet. They go on an adventure together. Yeah, so the third book is coming out this August, I believe. So please check that out.
Awesome.
And Ying, what about you? What else should folks check out from you?
I had a book, just won another award called Growing Up Under the Red Flag. Is the memoir, picture book of my life growing up in Wuhan. So during the Cultural Revolution, that book has won many awards and getting a lot of recognition. And I'm very excited about, it's just, I had 7 books came out last 2 years. So this is my last one for a while.
You got a lot going on. And I will say, covering a lot of ground, a variety of ground.
So this is my passion. I combine my passion for food and the story. So I'm just, this is a very special book for me.
It's so fun doing a cookbook. I actually do have another teen series called Cooking of Monsters, which I get, my family is so confused about all the time, because when I tell them that book is released, they're like, but it's not a cookbook. I'm like, I know, but it sounds like one because it's called Cooking of Monsters. So that's got 2 books. I'm working on a third book right now, but that's published by IDW. And it's kind of like a shonen manga inspired series about a group of teens who go to school and they learn how to cook and fight monsters at the same time.
That sounds great. 100%
fun combo.
Two great skills.
Awesome, thank you so much for coming on. Congrats on the book.
Love the book.
Birthday Vivian, whatever it makes it to your way on your side of the pond, but congratulations.
Thank Very fun. So I'm cooking those tea eggs. I'm doing it.
Good. Thanks so much for having us. Love your show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. There we go. Once again, the book is called Buddha Jumps Over the Wall and Other Curiously Named Classic Chinese Dishes, a graphic cookbook, 26 recipes and stories. It is out today from Chronicle Books, unless you're in the UK, in which case, who knows when it's going
to
be out.
No dinner for you. Yes. Pete, if you ever invite us to your house, I will bring you tea eggs.
Oh, great, man. I'd love to try them. They sound so delicious.
Cool.
Yeah. You can just order that from Domino's just to tell them you want extra cheese, extra tea eggs, and you're good to go.
Yeah, they have an extensive kitchen there.
All right. Why don't we bring in our next guest? They are two of the architects behind one of our favorite superhero universes, the Massiverse. I'm very excited to talk to them about what's going on with big changes. There, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Higgins and Michael Busuttil.
Hey, welcome.
Did I get it right, Michael?
Close enough.
Close. Yeah. Ah, man.
He's answered the worst.
Yeah. Guys, excited to have you on. Excited to chat about all this. So lots of stuff is always going on in the world of Massiverse. The big stuff that's coming up, and I'm sure there's more that you could fill us in on, but Radiant Black 31 came out a couple of weeks back, and that is the big return for Radiant Black after the Catalyst War, which was this wild event that I think we talked about every issue of, and not just every issue, but for anybody who wasn't reading it, and you should, it was following two timelines, so it was double the issues it usually was. It was great. But now we're back to one. We got one Radiant Black. Radiant Black 32 comes out on March 26th. And the other big one is Rogue Sun number 25 is coming out on March 12th. And that's supposed to be a big jumping on point as well. So I know I just talked through it, but what... It almost feels like you're entering, maybe not exactly the second phase, but a new phase of the Massiverse. Why is that, and what could you tell us about it?
Well, I think that's totally accurate. I think part of it is that it's inevitable. Like, the longer that you are building something in any sort of shared capacity, the more that you're going to naturally come to the end of certain phases of story. And when we started Radiant Black, even with Rogue Sun and Inferno Girl Red kind of developing concurrently alongside, when we started Radiant Black, I laid out a plan for what was essentially 3 years of story. And that carried us through the Catalyst War, including like the final affirmation of like who Radiant Black is.
Oh, wow.
From this, what was essentially designed to be a secret two-hander between these two, you know, disillusioned millennial best friends. And it's kind of, it's me riffing a little bit on like the secondary writer from like Kamen Rider trope, and just like using that to make more of a meal of that concept emotionally and character wise and relationship wise, than you usually see with it in Western, you know, storytelling anyway. And so, now that we're done with the Catalyst War, it becomes about like narratively entering this new phase of what it's like for Marshall as Radiant Black, but also from a status quo standpoint, like we're really interested in telling stories in kind of like gray areas. And so like post a major world event, pre back to normalcy, like we are in the midst of what is kind of like the beginnings of a rebuild in the city. And this is like 5 months later. And because it's Chicago, it's not exactly like funding just like unlocks without a whole lot of, you know, political strings being moved around. So there's some complications going on there. And that felt like a really interesting new kind of setting for a status quo, as like Marshall is determined to like go out and become the type of Radiant Black that the world needs, but also is the antithesis to like his greatest fear, which is what he saw himself do in the other timeline. So I think now, especially this coinciding with like where Rogue Sun is at, with No One wrapping up last year, Inferno Girl Red Book 2 about to come out this summer as well, it felt like this is a really good time to kind of like recalibrate just with the books and the line and like, you know, designing jumping on points for all the titles, you know, going into 2025 is like really important to us. There aren't a lot of books that get above like an issue 30 in the market these days, and even fewer that are like indie books. So creating like natural jumping on points and like points of accessibility is really important for especially right now. So yeah, that's kind of where we landed here, or how we landed here, I should say.
It feels like the Massiverse has a very positive reputation for like burning it all up, like going hard, like just we're not going to save any juice to swim back from where we're going. But as you reset for a new phase, does that mean you have a whiteboard that you need to fill, or like how do you carry that philosophy of storytelling into a whole new direction or whole new?
Well, first of all, Justin, I don't know if you're making a Gattaca reference, but if
I am making a Gattaca reference, I am tight.
Huge Gattaca fan right here. you know, that's an interesting question. I guess the best way I can answer it is that one of the things I think we do really well and really pride ourselves on is like, we're not ever really trying to force something. Like, everything comes out of story first and foremost. So, like, we don't even really approach some of these things from that kind of vantage point. And, like, there's definitely been a part of me when we were wrapping up Catalyst War, like, there was a little part of me thinking, like, yeah, along what you're, the lines of what you're asking, like, what are we do? What do we do next? You know? And I didn't know. And then as we firmed up more of what the next direction is, like, you know, three new interesting ideas came out of that as far as, like, how to play with form. Michael, I don't know if you saw the document that Joe and I have going on issue 36, but talking about playing with form, like, there's another one in there, you know? So, I think, like, I think it just has to... Fortunately, it's always come out of the right, doing it for the right reasons, so we haven't had that problem just yet, but I'll let you know after our first
Yeah, I think the secret is that, like, you know, we came out of the Catalyst War and we changed the status quo. One of the main characters is out of the book for at least the foreseeable future. The other main character moved to a different city. He went to a whole other part of the world. He's got a roommate now. Like, we changed a whole bunch of stuff, and part of that is scary. You go, like, oh, it removes 400 possibilities from the board. Like, all the right. stories we could have told in the old status quo are gone. But it also opens up a million new stories that we couldn't have told in the old status quo. And so you're not, like, yeah, so there's some stuff that we could have done that we probably can never do now because of where we're at. And there's also things that we could have never dreamt we could have done 2 years ago that we can only do now because of the things we've done. You're not ever, like, removing possibilities from the board. You're just exchanging them for different possibilities.
Yeah. If friends had sent Phoebe and Joey into space, they would have had space friends to do. And they exactly. just never did that.
And they'd have had, like, an alien monkey that I'm thinking of Lost in Space now, is what I'm thinking of.
That's it should have gone.
I'm always thinking about Lost in Space. I think I know the answer to this one based on what you were saying, Kyle, but a very easy jumping on point for comics that gets a lot of lumps, but it works as a new number one. Was there any talk about that?
No.
We talked about it a little and then basically immediately said no, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we never talked about it in a way where we were, like, really weighing whether to do that or anything like that. No, I mean, it's just not interesting to us. And I think, like, it's funny because in my career, I've gone through different iterations of, like, new number ones. And, you know, the most significant one certainly was the New 52. Mm. And I think there's, like, there's a reality to publishing, especially in, like, this arena, which is superhero comics and a lot of times a big two superhero comics. Like, there just is going to be, like, relaunches and new number ones. That's just, like, that's a thing, like, you kind of just have to accept, unfortunately. But it feels like there's diminishing returns there, and especially on an indie title, I think that one of the things we have going for us is, as I said, again, our, like, accessibility. And so I think if you look at everything from, like, manga trends to just, like, I don't know, the reality of how people are getting into established properties, like, there isn't this barrier to entry when it's like you have 60 volumes of a book. And I think the way that, like, IDW did Turtles is a really good example, where it's like you have all of these volumes in order of the main series, and even though there's a lot of them, they make sense in terms of how you're able to find them. And I think the second that you reboot and renumber, like, you complicate the, like, the accessibility to, like, an entire, you know, your story in the proper order. I mean, you know, Ryan Parrott and I do a lot of conventions, and, you know, I haven't done anything Power Rangers related since 2018, but, like, we both get, you know, fans that come and ask us, like, hey, how do we read, like, what's the order of the Power Ranger trades?
Oh, wow.
Because they changed it from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers to, like, Mighty Morphin and Power Rangers and started with new number ones in terms of their collections, you know? And I just think, like, if you're not careful, like, you can break things a little bit. And so I'd rather build a library and, like, a catalog here that makes sense than to, like, do something for short-term gains that in the long run actually kind of makes our stuff more inaccessible.
Well, I just wanted to say we read a lot of comics, and this is just such an enjoyable read every time it's in the stack and it comes out. I just want to thank you. You can, the creativity and the levels to what you're doing, it's just such a fun read and such an exciting thing of, like, just before you open it, like, what's going to happen. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for all the work that goes into this.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's Michael's fault, primarily.
Good. We want to find some blame to place here, so that's perfect.
I'll take it. That's part of my job description, I think.
Blame taker.
Not to go in an entirely different direction, but just because you were talking about publishing stuff, and I swear we'll get back to story things and everything in a moment. I was very curious to hear from you guys, because you obviously do have a lot of thoughts about publishing and are publishing all these books. I know it's early days, but there are these tariffs that I think have sent up everybody's alarm bells right now.
Yeah.
Because for anybody who doesn't know, who's listening or watching, there are a lot of particularly single issue comics that are printed in Canada and a lot of trades that are particularly printed in China. So without getting too wonky, this isn't a financial podcast, but I'm curious to hear what the conversations have been like from you, because you are working and printing through Image Comics.
Well, we haven't.
Michael's face.
Just right a little now. Stress hit.
You.
Yeah. Listen, let me put it this way. Let me put it this way before we answer. There are enough things that already keep us up at night.
Yeah.
And enough points of stress that are in progress all the time that, you know, are perpetuating that, you know, that ulcer. And I don't know that worrying about the tariffs is going to help any of us right now. So we have not, is the short answer. We're aware, we're concerned, but it's not a fire that's currently on fire as of, well, now today it is. But as of yesterday, it wasn't currently actually on fire, so we haven't had to really navigate it just yet. But, I mean, yeah, we did work with publishers in the U.S., but we moved all of our publishing on the Massiverse books to Solus in Canada, which or not Solus, Solisco. And that they're my favorite printer we've worked with. They did Deep Cuts with us. They did our first
love Deep Cuts,
super,
by the way.
Yeah, our super massive crossovers specials. And so they do all of our books now kind of full time. And what that means as far as tariffs, whether that's going to continue to be feasible now, we don't know. We haven't heard. And then we do all of our trades there as well. But, you know, the Radiant Black hardcover and our upcoming Infernal Girl Red printing for the book 2 Kickstarter hardcover, like, our intention was to work with the same printer that did the Radiant Black massive edition hardcover, and they're based out of China. So figuring out what exactly that means, how shipping's going to work, and all of that is something that we're very quickly going to have to figure out here.
We got a very similar question for the comments here from Alex. After the branching timelines through Catalyst War, the voting for the true Radiant Black, etc., are there other experimental or throwback ideas you'd love to try in the Massiverse?
I will say, Kyle hasn't pitched me like a huge one in a while, and that worries me, because I suspect that means there's one cooking that I will find out at some point.
Well, part of that, first of all, that's not fully true, because you know what we're filming right now and what we're trying to do because you've seen me working in After Effects.
Yeah, okay, sure.
That's a pretty out there.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, is this, I mean, I know you're bouncing around it. Does this have anything to do with the No One film, or is it something entirely different?
Well, in that it's live action, yes.
Yeah.
It's something else. But what all I'm saying is that, first of all, we are doing something pretty crazy that's in progress right now. But second of all, we've promised a bunch of crazy things we haven't delivered on yet, so we have to finish those first. We're very principled in our in making sure we get through the stuff we say we're going to do. So, like, the Radiant Black audiobook we're recording right now, the No One film we're still writing, but I want to make sure that between getting through those, doing those properly, because we're excited about all of them, and then also making sure the books stay, you know, on time, we're back on schedule consistently here monthly. It's like, those are the priorities. So anything else we're doing that's, you know, outside the box or additive is going to be done kind of around all of those first priorities.
Yeah, I feel like Michael answered that question, and then Kyle, your answer just stressed him out. He had forgotten about what you were talking about.
Welcome to the Massiverse editorial. Yeah. Other thing about that is, whenever we're doing something big like that, it has to come story first. It's never gimmick first. It's like, here's the story. Oh, and here's a thing we could do that really supports it. And I don't know that I would describe what we're doing in the books currently as like back to basics. That feels like it's sort of undermining it. But like, you know, it's new jumping on points. We're like rebuilding these status quos. We're reestablishing everything. I don't know that now is the time in those stories for like, you know, the book is suddenly three books or something like that. Like it makes more deep breaths, Kyle. I wouldn't let you even if you wanted to.
I can't.
So, now is not the time. 6 months, a year from now, when those new status quos have had a chance to richen and develop, maybe we'll start having ideas of like, oh, and here's something that fits in.
We got a couple more questions here. This is one, I feel like we talked about this a little bit before when we had you on, but Matthew Schofield would like to know, just wanted to know how he spun the first book into a whole line of books. And I think that ties into the discussion we're having, because you guys really hit the ground running with so many things. And like we're talking about, you still have so many things, but the comics line right now is very focused. So talk about that arc a little bit there.
Well, I mean, it's actually a pretty simple answer in that we didn't intend it in this way. Like it wasn't starting from a place of like Radiant Black and then, or what are other books we can add? It was actually holistically much bigger from the get-go. We just led with Radiant Black. So when Eric Stevenson asked me if I'd ever consider building an original superhero, he told me that like he was looking for this kind of thing. And if there were any other creators that I thought would be a good fit, like I should let them know. And so my first call was to Ryan Parrott, who pitched me what became Rogue Son. It was called Dark Son originally. No. He pitched what became Rogue Son like 3 or 4 days later. He and I went to a USC football game. And basically I walked him through like on the spot. We riffed like the first two volumes or maybe even like three volumes of Radiant Black, like really big moves. And like, he's pitching me Rogue Son. And at the same time, Matt Groom, we were working on Inferno Girl Red. That Matt was actually the original. Like Matt pitched doing Inferno Girl like before Radiant Black. And so we'd been looking for the right artist for months for Inferno Girl. So we were kind of doing these all concurrently, and then Radiant Black was going to be first out of the gate, and we got the numbers on issue one. And it was only at that point that like I called everybody and we did the Zoom on like a Saturday night where like very excitedly, like I was pitching, like there's a brass ring. Like we could like, let's go grab it. Like, let's go build out. We're the first out of the gate. We don't know how many other books are going to come out. Like Eric told us, like, who else did he tell that wants to do stuff? Like, let's go, awesome. Like, define our own little corner, you know, and do it together. And so that's how this all kicked off. Cool. And then Michael very quickly and very, you know, intelligently pointed out, like, okay, well, if we're going to do this, like, here's how we should do it. And, like, we should all really make this concerted effort to keep each book siloed as its own thing. So, you know, you don't have the Spawn problem of, like, Chapel killed Al Simmons, you know, and, like, Liefeld, yeah. How accessible is Chapel these days? Like, you don't, you're not in the driver's seat there, you know? So it's like, that was my thing, is like, every book take its own city. You know, Infernal Girl Red made sense at that point to be outside the universe, in her own universe that crosses over. But by creating different, like, territories for each book, it made it easier to, like, build out each book's own unique world, you know?
Cool. And we got a follow-up here also from Matthew. If this hasn't already been asked, it has not. Could you ask Kyle how the creator rights situation works on all the Radiant books? Work for hire with the different creators or what?
Yeah. So on the Radiant books, yeah, like, all the Radiant books are owned by Marcello and myself. But the Massiverse books are all owned by their creative teams. So Rogue Sun is owned by Ryan Parrott and Abel and co-created by them. You know, Michael and I each have a little piece of all the books because we coordinate and creative direct all of them. And then we also handle, like, all the accounting. Like, we handle everything on the Image side. But, yeah, it was designed. I set it up that way that, like, you know, I facilitate on all these books, but it was more important, like, especially getting it off the ground, like, everyone needs to be in the driver's seat of their own material. And, you know, banking a little bit on, like, us all playing nice together, especially as things get more defined and, like, other opportunities, like, potentially start to come in, you know, in other mediums, things like that. But we're all friends first, and, like, we all worked on Power Rangers together and other things together. And so, you know, it's worked out really well for us, like, doing it this way.
Yeah. Cool. I have a bit of a swerve question, but you mentioned Deep Cuts earlier, and that was one of my favorite books from last year. And I wanted to just ask about, like, that feels almost like the opposite of anything happening in the Massiverse. Like, and it also feels intensely personal to you. So can you talk about just, like, the genesis of that and why it was important to do?
Yeah, I mean, it started similarly, actually, in some ways, to Radiant Black. It started with a conversation with Eric Stevenson, and we were sitting around talking about how it'd be really cool to do a book inside the world of, like, baseball, like, the farm league system, like, the scouts, like, all of it. And I think Eric was telling me that he'd been saying to Todd McFarlane for years he should do that, and it came up again with another writer that I actually mentioned the same thing to separately. And so anyway, we're just, like, touching on that, and a few minutes later Eric circles back. He goes, hey, you should do that for Jazz. I was like, I should do what for Jazz? He's like, the baseball thing, like, you should do that in the world of Jazz. Now, part of how Eric and I have become friends over the years is our love of music, and especially jazz. Like, I was a trumpet player until I was, like, 25. Like, I grew up playing, you know, classical, but my favorite is jazz. And, like, that was, like, a whole thing and, you know, part of my life. And my dad is a huge music collector. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of discs and cool. artists, but also with a focus or, you know, on jazz in different eras. And so Joe Clark, who I grew up playing in jazz bands with in high school, we became friends because we both loved comic books, and the first X-Men film was coming out on DVD, and we were in jazz band rehearsal, and he asked what I was doing that night. I was like, I'm going to Kmart to pick up
shout out X-Men. To Kmart.
Joe's the one that turned me on to Alan Moore's work. Like, he scored my film, The League, my college film that started my career and everything. So when Eric is telling me this, I could see it, like, a version of this, and I immediately said, like, I got to do it with my friend Joe. So we called Joe on the spot, and he picked up. I was like, hey, Joe. I was like, I'm with Eric Stevenson. He's the publisher of Image. I was like, we're talking about doing a jazz book. Do you want to do a jazz book? We should do a jazz book. and like literally riffed on the spot, like doing it across six issues where each one's a different decade, and like telling these stories that kind of like recontextualize the ideas of success and failure.
Yeah.
Especially through like the creative lens. And yeah, we did it for 5 years and massively proud of it. Like that it's probably so the good. Book that I'm the most proud to be associated with in my career.
Wow.
It's something I'm not musical. I don't play music. I wish I did. And just having that book brought me into that world in a way that I find difficult to access because I just don't have that skill set. And I feel like that's really hard to bring in an outsider like that. So shouts. It was one of my favorite books of the year.
Yeah. We got another question here in the comments. This is from Ben NG. Any chance of return to DC? And I'll say, this is where my head's at immediately. I was like, Washington, DC? What is he talking about?
I was going to be the next president.
Yeah.
Wow. I figured it out eventually.
Already.
I mean, I would never say never, but like, you know, we're kind of doing our own thing right now.
Yeah, you're busy. You guys are busy.
Yeah, it's so busy.
Yeah.
Please don't take another book.
Yeah.
Especially because like, there's other stuff going on that's outside of the comics that we do as well. And so there's just a lot, of plate spinning at the moment. It would have to be the right thing. It'd have to be like, you know, a really cool, like something really, really exciting project wise for me to probably meaningfully consider doing that. But you know, I mean, never say never, I guess. There's some cool stuff out there that I would maybe do again one day. We'll see. You know, it did come up, like, all the Absolute stuff. Like, I had conversations with Scott about that stuff. And, cool. You know, I told him it just wasn't – I wasn't the right fit for it with where I'm at now and where my focus is – like, where my focus is at. But, like, really excited for all my friends who, you know, done those books and, like, how well they've sold for retailers and everything.
Oh, yeah, they've been great.
Yeah. You know, so.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Massiverse stuff. Again, you've covered a lot of this. I know there's a lot of balls in the air and things down the road. Like we said, we got Radiant Black ongoing. We got Rogue Sun ongoing. We touched on the No One movie a little bit and Inferno Girl Red. I'll ask, is there going to be a Supermassive this year? Or is that something you're not ready to talk about yet?
So we're not going to do one this year. We did three of them, you know, in subsequent years for the first 3 years. So we're going to take this year off. Our focus is really on like firming up Radiant Black and Rogue Sun on a, like I've said before, like on a monthly schedule, but more so on a like, we just want the presence to be consistent before we throw anything additional into the mix and just try to create a little bit more of a modern kind of track record with the main titles first. But you know, we want to do more in the future. And we have some other ideas that we're playing around with that aren't even necessarily in traditional kind of comics, I guess, or traditional publishing, for ways to do some like different stories and crossovers and things like that. So there might be more to that stuff in the coming months.
And I should mention, just because it's coming up, issue 26 of Rogue Sun and issue 33 of Radiant Black, almost like a mini Supermassive, we are crossing the books over.
Ooh, nice.
Within
awesome.
The books. So we're doing a really specific thing where if you just want to read the Rogue Sun side because you're reading Rogue Sun, that should stand alone. And if you just read the Radiant Black side, we think that side will stand alone. And if you read both of those issues together, you will get a fuller picture of the sort of double-sided interaction that's going on there.
Awesome.
That's exciting. What about other potential formats? Is that something that's ever been discussed? Like, obviously, vertical comics are pretty huge. In the opposite direction, you got YA graphic novels, which, to my mind, this universe seems to fit perfectly for that sort of format. Is that anything that is on the table?
I have no idea what you're talking about or why either of those would ever be interesting to have a conversation about ever.
Wow. I think it's safe to say at this point we've had conversations about basically anything. And it is really just like bandwidth of us and right. of a creative team to do that, and the right title, the right thing, the right opportunity to jump into that. You know, there's not much we wouldn't do if we felt like we had the thing that was right for it.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't looking at a vertical scroll Infernal Girl Red strip that we have sitting here in the bank earlier today to figure out where is the best place.
We should just put that up somewhere because we do have it.
Well, yeah,
please do. Please.
It's like we're in the room with you guys. This is perfect.
Well,
let's go.
It's part of a larger conversation because, to Alex's question, yeah, I mean, it's not only is it a format that is interesting to us, but also like with the current state of publishing, and especially being like, if you're a newer creator or someone who didn't get into the direct market at kind of a certain point, like it's harder, it's much harder now to kind of build out a body of work, much less like, you know, a catalog of stuff or, you know, a presence in the direct market. And so we're starting to look around at ways, like with the Black Market newsletter, we might be able to start running some original stuff, just like more as kind of a platform. And considering that, like, I'm really, really big on like taking full advantage of whatever medium I'm working in, the idea of like doing something where on a format where you're predominantly reading it on your phone, i.e. your email, like it feels like it makes for some vertical storytelling possibilities that I think are really interesting. And then couple that with, as you said, Alex, like the age range and demographic on like not only Massiverse stuff, but like maybe some younger skewing stuff. I think that those two topics overlap in a really, really interesting way. And it's something that has been on our radar for a couple years, actually. But it's as Michael said, there's an opportunity cost to every one of these things and like a bandwidth matter. But you were very much like circling the bullseye. Like that's been something very much on our radar.
Let's start to wrap up here by talking about Radiant Black to bring it back to it. So this is spoilers, though I think we've touched on this anyway, but we now have our one Radiant Black, who is Marshall in the book going forward. As somebody who has been intimately involved with both Nathan and Marshall for so long, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about like, oh, okay, I just have this one guy and he's kind of a jerk?
What did you think, Michael?
We talked while the Catalyst War was sort of happening, and even, you know, pre the vote, a lot about what the outcome would look like and story possibilities for either of those characters. Like, we would not have left it open for people to vote if we did not think that the book, either option, made sense at the end.
Right.
And so, you know, like I was talking about at the start, like, losing Nathan not being Radiant Black cuts off a lot of options. Marshall being Radiant Black opens up a whole bunch different options. I like him, man. He's not great.
That's so funny. You're describing your friend who's an asshole. I like him. I know he punched the door at the bar. He's trying. But he's fun. Yeah.
And I think that is sort of the point we're at with him, where like he's trying, man. And like there's a lot of people out there who aren't trying to be better, and I'll take a guy who kind of sucks a little but is trying to be better over somebody who isn't trying anymore. And that's I think great. He is now up against, not to spoil anything too much about the current story arc, he is up against people who think he is the worst version of himself. And he is trying his absolute hardest to not be that guy, and I think that's really a really cool and interesting place for that character to be for the time being.
And before we let you guys go, obviously we've talked about a lot of this stuff, but anything else to plug? Anything we missed that people should be checking out?
Well, Marshall's okay, I guess is what I would say.
Wow.
No. I echo what Michael's saying, but I do have to add that there's a small part of me that resents... We knew Marshall was going to win the vote, but there's a small part of me that resents it because so many people were saying, like, oh, well, he's got the way more interesting character arc. Like, he's the better character. It's like, why? Because he's a fuck-up? And, like, you don't know where this is going to go. And so the writer in me resents that you're, like, you're voting based on what you think is going to happen story-wise. And it takes every issue now. It takes, a monumental amount of self-restraint to not, like, drive Marshall like into a building, you know,
to prove them wrong. That's really funny.
You think you know where this is going? No. So I guess we plug Radiant Black. You should keep picking it up because he might end up in the side of a building sometime.
Yeah. Kyle's hanging on by a thread here, guys. You gotta keep reading. Who knows what is gonna happen?
Exactly. The big things, I guess, we've got the audiobook coming up. I would say now, if you're not subscribed to our Black Market newsletter, now's a great time to do that. It's for free. You can go to radiant.black/newsletter or blackmarket.la. There's a newsletter sign up link right there. And I think other than that, I would pay attention to, like, we've been building out, to your original question about, like, doing more outside the box stuff, a lot of the energy that we've put towards that in the past, right now we're actually putting towards growing more kind of like general awareness about everything and the books and like the line itself. So if you follow us on TikTok, Instagram, or YouTube, you'll notice we've been putting out a lot of shorts, like a lot of short videos narrated, including some really cool recap videos with Will Friedle and Ryder Strong narrating the Radiant Black story so far recap. And then Johnny Young Bosch narrating a digital exclusive one that Michael put together for Rogue Sun. We're also going to be running all of these like promos for every issue before FOC, and then another one on for the on sale week. And they very much come out of like my love of 90s, like this week on Batman, the animated series, you know, numbers. So we're doing that again with Will narrating Radiant Black and Johnny narrating Rogue Sun. So, that kind of stuff I'm flagging, I guess, because there's going to be more of it, and there's some really weird stuff that's coming in that ballpark, or that, wheelhouse.
Only one other thing I want to plug, just because we don't get a chance to plug it often. We made a card game. The Massiverse Fighting Card Game. It's got all eight characters. They're drawn by Dan Mora. All the cards have exclusive art. This is now sort of like out widely, so you should be able to get it on Amazon or from the folks at Soulless Game Studio who made it, or I think a bunch of other online places. I'm sure you guys could Google to find it. But it's really fun, and we're really proud of it. There's an expansion. Totally. It's really cool. So you should check that out if you're a games person.
Definitely will. Kyle, Michael, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank
Congrats
you
on all the books. Can't wait to see what's next. And looking forward to tie it back to our first guest, the Massiverse Cookbook.
Yes, where is it?
We've not talked about
it. I was going to say, you guys put the multi and multimedia. Everything's out on the table.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Bye.
Good night, guys.
All right, there we go. Once again, check out all the stuff from Massiverse, the stuff that's coming out next. Radiant Black number 32 is coming out March 26th, and
Can't
Rogue Sun number 25 is coming out March 12th. We love these titles. They're great. Check them
so
all
fun.
Out.
They go hard, and it's...
It's
get
a blast,
on the get on board.
Get
check it out.
On board.
Ride the snake.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you. even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
And I'll tell you what, I am on board with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions.
All right.
And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, maybe Instagram. I'll keep an eye on that. But what's going on? What are you guys drinking? Pete, you changed it up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I remember this year, longboard. That was we used to get the drink tickets for at Fontana's. Mm-hmm. And, every time I have a longboard, I think of those.
Bar. Was the bartender there? Did he open it up for you?
Yeah, he brought the case to his house.
He'd be a lot cooler if he did.
Because he's your Domino's pizza delivery man, right, Pete? Pete taking a little nostalgia bath, as usual. Yeah. Love to see it. I'm drinking a little Conehead.
Ooh, from, you're drinking something Sierra. Before that, too.
I had a little cocktail in honor of Mardi Gras.
Cocktail. Which was you make the Brett's cocktail this week? Was the Vu Curé?
I did not make that, but that's very good if you would like to make that.
Yeah. Oh, we got a couple of great questions here already. Let's start off with this one from Lynn for the 111. If one of you three couldn't do the podcast anymore, would you keep it a duo or replace the fallen comrade?
Wow.
I appreciate fallen Conrad hard. That's so true.
Who's dying first?
Yeah, I like, and I will say, Lynn, we always frame this as who's dying first. So no one's quitting. No one's quitting.
Who's dying first?
And let me say, earnestly, like, we've continued this podcast through thick and thin. Any weird job any of us have, I was at certain points running from my job working on a TV show to the pit to do this show. And it's part of our lives. I don't think there's anything save death that's taken us out.
I do think about it sometimes.
You think about it?
Fantasize.
Like just before fantasize you fall asleep, you're just like, oh, one of them's going to go soon.
I mean,
and that'll be mine. And then it'll probably be mine.
Me, but no, I do wonder about that. Like, I don't have an answer, to be honest, because it makes me very sad. I would prefer if neither of you died. Frankly.
We break. That's really nice. That's a really nice thing to hear. I would prefer you didn't die. Mom, you listening? That's a great compliment for anyone. And if one of us does leave, that's when we break the glass and pull the Nat Towson lever. Is that what it?
Second, Pete dies on the stream. I kick him out of the stream, bring a Nat. We're good.
Exactly. Seamless. Fourth chair becomes third.
Do you think Nat could be angry about stuff? Also, I guess we've already assumed that Pete's going to be the first one to go.
I think that's pretty safe. Oh, now Pete's sad. Pete, are you sad or do you also agree with that?
I was frozen for a second there, I think.
Right. That was death. That was death's sky just hovering over you.
We should freeze Pete, just in case, actually.
I guess that's foreshadowing of what's going to happen.
Pete is our Captain America. We will freeze him.
Yeah. Wow, we found him frozen in ice for 40 years. He must be here to help and say, oh, no? He's just expressing angry opinions? Okay.
He wants to make Peter and Mary Jane. Who's he talking about? Saint Peter? Mary Jane?
The reefer? Is he talking about Saint Peter marrying the wacky weed? Well, anyway.
Now I feel like Alex is going to die first based on what he was just saying.
Yeah, he said Conlon's going to be
way too old. I've had a strange pain in my side over here for a couple of days. So
that's it.
That's it. I made the mistake while we're talking about this. I was like, don't do it.
If you do die, do you want us to continue or should we stop doing this?
We should have a will. We should have a will.
Yeah.
A group will.
Yes. I leave you by putting together the graphics for the stack every week.
It's the rule that whoever dies, we do a podcast on their casket and,
every week. We can Bernie's this shit for a while.
I feel like we've talked about this before, but we definitely all get buried together, right? Like a pharaoh and his cats.
What? I don't know about that.
Well, we could podcast from the crypt, obviously. We're going to Huey, Dewey, and Louie our caskets, as we say.
Amazing. All right, we got a bunch more questions, so why don't we get through these? Stanley says they're excited to watch Daredevil.
Yeah, I can't believe we're missing it right now. This is bullshit.
It's not on for an hour, Pete.
How can a show about comic books and love of comic books be hurting my nerddom? This is killing me.
Hurting it. I am excited for Daredevil. I can't wait. It hasn't come out yet, so none of us have had the chance to put their scuzzy little eyeballs on it and listen and watch and listen to it. So we can all just
speculate. None of us have already seen it or anything like that. So,
This is talked about in our Discord. Give us the non spoilery lightest vibe check. Give us the vibe check.
This is, you know what was also in our Discord was this thing.
This reaction from Pete. Pete just threw his headphones off. He doesn't even want to know if it's good.
Right. The broadest no spoilers overview. Whoa! What did Pete just do?
He made himself the focus.
I was trying to turn off my camera. I'm so out of here for this.
Oh, okay. He can't hear us. He has his
headphones. Also doesn't know how anything works. Yeah. Just say what you were going to say.
All right. I've decided Pete's going to die first, by the way.
Yeah. no doubt. Maybe right now.
I thought it was excellent. I thought it was really good. I was very impressed by it. It's very different from the previous show. I would like it and I'll probably beat this drum incessantly over the next couple of weeks, but I'd liken it to the same way that when a new team takes over Daredevil, the comic, where they really challenge themselves to be like, oh, okay, this team left us in this place. How do we reinvent this, do this in a different way? So I know we were talking a lot about the like Daredevil board again, and like, come on, you're just doing Daredevil season 4. It really does feel like a different show with a lot of the same elements that is still a continuing story there. Like they haven't, you know, thrown it out or anything like that. So I was really impressed by that. But the biggest thing I was impressed by, which this is another like thing that I harp on a lot, but it's a TV show in a way that maybe none of the other Marvel Studios shows are.
I mean, we talked extensively about this during our Daredevil preview, and I feel like it's important. Like if they have cracked that, they may be able to move forward successfully in the MCU.
It really does feel like, and we'll talk more about this, for anybody who's curious, on Marvel Vision, we'll definitely be recapping the whole show and talking about it more there with spoilers. But it really does feel like, because this was the show that they filmed halfway through and then for outside reasons stopped, they're like, hold on, we got to do this differently. It really feels like this is the path forward for Marvel. And if this is where they're going, they could be in a pretty good place with TV, but we'll see. Yeah. All right, Pete, you can put your headphones back on, Pete. There you go. Okay. Well, this is from Alex Z. Love the name. Love the last initial. Has anyone played the Invincible?
Is this Bizarro you?
Yes, it is. It's my Wario. Has anyone played the Invincible mobile game?
You're the Wario, Alex, just to be clear.
It is the only reason I know the sad bubblegum guy is actually named Tether Tyrant, which still isn't great. I did play that game for a while. I had forgotten about that. It was fine. It was one of those like card collecting battles games that it just started to feel a little repetitive at a certain point, but I definitely had fun with it for a couple of days.
Shouts to knowing the name Tether Tyrant. That's crazy. That's a crazy thing that our character treated like an emotional character, I will say, in this season of Invincible is named that.
Yeah. Schoikler says, what are the craziest comic book tie-ins you ever bought?
I mean, I'm wearing a Weapon X t-shirt, which I love. I sought this out.
Okay. So the tie-in of comics and t-shirts, is that what you're talking about?
Merch. A tie-in is something that is not a comic, but...
Mm-hmm. Craziest comic book tie-ins.
I mean, I guess it could be...
This Batman Returns Lego set that I got.
Yeah, Alex is definitely the one with the nonsense.
Pete?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Look behind you.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Pete, it's right behind you.
Any of that stuff. But, I had like a cool Douglas Adams t-shirt for a while that I'm sure wasn't legal or anything, but it was pretty sweet.
Oh, man. Black t-shirt. Market Douglas Adams t-shirt.
Sick,
bro.
Yeah.
Wow. Cops.
Nat Towson says, what will your collective epitaph be when you were buried in a single grave together?
Great question. Probably Wahhabis. Does that make the most
worth coffin, it for the art alone?
This coffin is super tight bananas.
That's good. Oh, I feel like the actual thing is like, would you like to take the secret graveyard quiz? Would make the most
someone
sense.
Will appear if you say that over our graves.
And let me be honest, you probably would have some dumb quiz about how we're buried near some random celebrity.
Matthew Kahn. Schofield would like to know, I have a question. I've been wondering about this for a long time. What is the original art piece behind Pete next to the Murder Falcon book?
Ooh, great question. Pete doesn't even know.
This is the Murder Falcon.
I think,
yeah, but where's the...
Which I think that's the art. The Murder Falcon book is next to that, right?
Yeah.
So it is original art from Murder Falcon. Is
maybe
what it
bring
is.
It close to the camera so we can see it.
Okay.
Not to direct this production, but...
What do you got there?
It's a Murder Falcon.
Yeah, do you want to talk about it, Pete? Use words for the audio podcast?
Sure, sure, if you want. Yeah, it's just the one of my favorite scenes from Murder Falcon is when they walk in the hospital and they kind of get the scope of everything that's kind of happening and all the people it's kind of affecting.
And that's the original art, right?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, Aaron and...
John.
Oh, John. Yeah, shout out to Aaron and John. Got this for me a long time ago.
You just got very tired, Pete.
I got sad. I missed those guys.
Yeah, I missed them too. Well, and on that note, that sad note, why don't we wrap up audience questions and go to our next
section. Wait, there is one more question.
There is?
From Stanley. Does Pete ever miss New York City? And I'm curious what that means, like just from... like seeing it on the news or like what's...
No, I definitely miss New York City. I miss the people of the city a lot.
You visited a time or two, right?
I plan on visiting again. And I've visited before.
And
where'd
you go?
I miss the people.
Statue of Liberty tour.
Well, first I went to your mom's house, see how she's doing, you know.
No, she doesn't live in New York City. She lives in Long Island.
I know.
Did you go to Long Island?
Yeah, I did.
Pete brings some old school zags for Alex right now.
I go to my chopped cheese spot. You know, there's places you got to hit.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Great answer. And now we are going to move on to the next section. Oh, is
Nat,
there more?
Nat is correct. He visited and punched me and left. Yeah. I did do that one
that
time.
That was weird.
It was a great visit.
I was there. I photographed it.
Yeah.
Next section is trivia, and for that, I'm going to turn over to Pete LePage.
All right. This is the part we're giving you, the lovely audience, the opportunity to win $25 free of Midtown Comics Online. Because if you had $25, you want to go to a comic book shop. And I believe we have a special report from the Gras, right?
Yeah, from Mardi Gras, from New Orleans himself, official CBC chef, Brett Madras, welcome.
Yeah.
So
Stray Bullies.
Hey, what's up?
Brooklyn, what's up, bro? What's up?
So originally I was going to do this from Frenchman Street.
Yes.
But it is a massive fucking thunderstorm outside right now, so that's not happening.
Terrifying. Are there still people out there partying?
I'm sure there are, but I mean, they're all wet now. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Well,
just
real
to be
quick,
clear, Frenchman Street, huge party street, especially all the time, but especially for Mardi Gras. When we were down there doing our show in New Orleans, Stray Bullet, we ended up partying at a hotel suite overlooking Frenchman Street, which was crawling
today,
with people.
So, So this morning, Mardi Gras, for anybody that doesn't understand it, it starts very early. I'm sorry, 6-year-old.
Entertainer.
It starts at like 6 a.m. where the crew of Skull and Bones goes through the 7th Ward and they knock on doors. They're all dressed like skeletons and they rattle chains and they have big like ding, ding, ding. These things, and they wake people up and knock on doors. That's when it starts. And then so we usually hit the quarter or the Mirny down there in Frenchman Street, we usually hit that at about 8 o'clock. So we did that. And that's generally when you've started drinking. So I was already doing a shot at about 9:30 at the R bar where you guys were, which was a swarm of people. It's a sea of human beings all dressed in costumes. I was posting some to the Discord today.
Great.
A little bit.
Really great stuff.
And then after that, like right around noon, we went to shift and got to work. And
wow. I
did that till about 6. So and that was fucking insane.
Yeah, busy day, I bet.
Yeah, so Mardi Gras is an event. It's, it starts on Twelfth Night. It goes all the way. It changes every year. So every 6 years, it falls on my birthday.
Nice.
This year, not so much. But it was still a lot of fun. It was still great. You still see a lot of people. And it was awesome.
Nice. So fun. Yeah, late Mardi Gras this year, right?
Yeah, it was. And it's rough when it's late, man. It's like you go through 2 months. 2 months
yeah, long sesh.
Parades and parties and and more shit. It's crazy. And by the you get to Ash Wednesday, it's like you're done. Yeah. But you know what I do want to talk about? Your first guest, by the way, I believe you have a comic book club chef. I'm pretty sure. And you guys, your first guest talking about a cookbook. That's amazing. That Buddha jumps over the wall. So when we were cleaning up at Chef for the first half of the show, my wife, I was forcing her to watch it. And she was like, this is amazing. We totally have to buy this.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really, like, to my own impediment, I've never chased awards or accolades or anything of that in my cooking. My goal has always been to create those, you know, those food memories. And that's absolutely what this book is. And it really touched home when I was cleaning the kitchen.
Oh, that's awesome.
I have to go back and rewatch the first half, but like, yeah,
it's a beautiful combination of kind of like story. And then through that story, you kind of learn about the recipe and then you get to learn the recipe and make it. So it's a real cool full circle moment. You go through it with the book. Yeah,
absolutely. And when you pull things like that from your childhood and then, you know, there's always that moment where like you eat something and it brings you back.
Oh, yeah.
Like hopefully one day you guys have a spoonful of caviar and creme fraiche and you're like...
Every day before I go to bed.
Yeah.
I wish, man.
I'm out of money. You may change my life. I'm broke. My food memory is eating a absolute table full of food at Brucaire.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so great. So great, all that food.
I'm still digesting some of it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I can't wait to have another Combo Club burger.
Trivia? You want to
Hey, trivia. All right, today's trivia is about G. Willow Wilson's run on Poison Ivy and a small nod to the legend, Gene Hackman, R.I.P.
Wow, jumping the line.
BT Dubs, my favorite Lex Luthor, honorable mention to Heist, and The Replacements. All right, please listen to all three options before making your selection. I mean, the dude's got bangers. All right, here we go.
Yeah, and those are the only ones anyone knows about.
Yep. Okay, question number one. All three of us have been enjoying the G. Willow Wilson's run on Poison Ivy, but what year did it start? Is it A, Stray Bullies, 2022, B, I'm Sorry You Feel That Way, I Like Mine, C, Skip Beard?
It's A.
A is correct. Yes. Well done. Yes. Well done.
For a second I was actually hoping that the second question would be a real question because I really wanted to know if I knew that. But
no.
Question number two. This current amazing run is an ongoing series, but originally it was supposed to be blank. Is it A miniseries, B, no, what do you feel like on a regular basis? What is your name? C, Rad Daily.
It's A.
It is correct. It looks like nice. Brooklyn feels Rad Daily.
Yeah,
all right, here we go.
Every day.
Question number three. In issue number 30, we finally get more of what great ship? Is it A, Janet and Croc? B, whatever, bro. What is your poor name? C, Lars Woods.
Whatever. Whatever.
A is correct. Well done, sir.
Congratulations. You're going to get a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics.
Actually, we're going to... Can we donate that?
Yes, you may. What would you like to donate to?
So we are, and I will send you the link later, Alex, but we are going to donate to the Human Rights Campaign, LGBTQ, which they needed more than ever right now.
Shouts.
We're definitely do will. That. Awesome. Yes. That sounds great. And I have an important question for you. Is okay. Brooklyn playing the Squid Game mobile game from Netflix behind you? Is that what's going on?
No, he's playing the fucking Squid Games from Roblox, which is there's a thousand Roblox games that and they have all different kinds of Squid Games.
Wow.
Great. No way that could go wrong.
He doesn't like it.
No way
that I will say, though, that I just to finish this out. I feel like when I was waiting in the waiting room, there is a backstage to the online here. And I feel like I won at parenting. I feel like I did it because I was like, Brooklyn, go get me the bourbon off the bar. Like, where? Go get it off the bar. It's off the bar. I don't want to get up. I forgot about it. And then you know what, fellas?
Hey,
that's a future bartender right there. That's a future bartender.
So you got to get a dog that brings you slippers, and then you have the whole set.
You've got
that's in the
work. He's a bartender. You've got a whole restaurant in your family. You got front of house, back of house, bartender. Let's go.
The kid wants a pug for his birthday. So
that's adorable.
I mean, legitimately.
Well, Brett, shoot us a link. We will make that donation. Thank you for coming on. Happy Mardi Gras to all of you.
Happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras.
Bon temps roulé, fellas.
Let the good times roll.
All right. There we go.
Great to see you stray bullies.
What secret Gene Hackman movie were you making reference to, Pete?
Of course, we're talking about the 1995 hit Crimson Tide.
I'll tell you what,
it's
Pete,
how he'd want to be remembered.
You'd never disappoint in what you choose.
Also, never disappointing is going to the comic book store on a Wednesday because they always got new comics. What are you guys looking forward to checking out?
Oh, a lot of great stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, Storm number 6, has really been a blast lately, and loving all the time we've been spending with Storm and in her head a little bit, which I know J.A.T. says loves, so that's been phenomenal.
I love the Storm head.
And then Batgirl number 5. I've been loving the mom and daughter kind of relation stuff that we've been getting in that, and the art's unbelievable and a lot of crazy fun, so.
Good calls. Justin, what about you?
I got to give it up for the Ultimates number 10. I feel like Dennis Camp is bringing an excellent.
You're in the camp
team.
Camp?
I'm in the camp camp. I have been for a while. And this book is doing it all. Like, it's a great big comic book superhero story while at the same time having ideas, great art. I just think it is one of the best books out on the stands right now. And you know what? I want to shout out NYX number 9. This week is all about the manhunt for Xavier.
Excuse me, the X-Man hunt?
The X-Man hunt, yes, which is really good stuff. And I've been liking NYX. We talked about this a little bit on the Discord as well. Of all the X-Men books that aren't the sort of main titles, this one is bringing a team together. It is not only interesting characters, but also an underlying sort of vibe and philosophy that I've been really digging. Curious how that influences the X-Man hunt.
I will shout out 2 DC titles. Excited to check out Secret 6, number 1 from DC Comics.
Oh, yeah, man.
Nicole Maines has been doing a killer job with Dreamer, and here she is stuck with a team of heroes and villains. Love the Secret 6 book back in the day from Gail Simone, so excited to see how well, if at all, that channels that. And the other one I wanted to give a shout-out to is Shazam, number 21, also from DC. This is surprised the last issue of this title, which is a real bummer, because I think Josie Campbell has been absolutely killing it with the Shazamery, as we all love calling them.
Oh, yes. So you're always quoting Zachary Levi, Alex, in everything he says.
Word for word. Up until this very week, of course. Anyway, I love Shazam. I'm bummed to see it go, but excited to read the issue. And all of those books and many more are going to be in our Stack podcast.
Wow, what are the odds of that?
It's a huge coincidence. Wednesday at 9 a.m. in the Comic Book Club feed and the Stack feed. And folks, that is it for this week's show. A couple of people we want to thank Ying Koppenstein and Vivian Trong for coming on to talk about Buddha Jumps Over the Wall. That is available today some places.
So cool.
Chronicle Books. Also, Kyle Higgins and Michael Basudel to talk about the Massiverse books. Again, Radiant Black number 32 is coming out March 26th, and Rogue Sun number 25 is coming out March 12th. Next week on the show, Kelly Fitzpatrick is going to be here to talk about Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, Declassified, notes, interviews, and files for the Avengers archives. And at some point, we'll have guests on that don't have very long titles, but not next week.
I love a long title. Say what you need to.
Yeah,
throw a couple colons in there. Let's go.
Comic Book Club News, daily, Monday through Friday is coming to you every day of the week.
I would love to subscribe to daily. Let's get into it. Jesus. I have questions and I have answers.
Have you signed up for a colonoscopy yet, Justin, by the way?
There's too much to talk about this, especially on the Discord. Horse bones? I won't.
Get horsed.
Podvincible, our Invincible podcast, is recapping the show Marvel Vision. We're about to jump into Daredevil. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support this show and all the shows we do. And you can check out comicbookclublive.com for more on next time. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Next time, until next time. Good night.
Loud noises.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.